Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Do we have to go back to the Knicks?
Well, you pick. Listen, dealer's choice.
I don't know. I don't.
Dealer's choice.
Rangers,
that's cute.
Rangers fire their coach. Mets, Yankees.
There's no safe space.
Take some devil's calls. They're excited.
They are excited. They should be. They scored, what, 8 goals yesterday?
The Devils, the Hughes brothers.
How cool must that be for the father?
Amazing.
But they're honestly, the Mets are not a safe space. The Yankees are not a safe space.
Nope.
The Knicks are not a safe space. The Rangers are not a safe space. I got nothing. But I think we should probably go back to the Knicks. That would be my surmise.
There's a monster game tonight, yeah.
Monster game tonight. Yeah, I again... Have you let Game 3 go yet and moved yourself and your focus to Game 4?
I was in the process of letting Game 3 go as I was watching it. Game 3 was gross. It was gross. I just don't understand how you come out like that. Knowing who you're playing, what's at stake. You were in for a fight. And one team was ready to fight and the other one wasn't.
That's right. But if you go out, you're just like outplayed, and the other team makes shots and you don't, I would think you could probably tolerate that. When you go out there and the game ends and you hear from like Jalen Rose, well, maybe we'll hear from him in just a moment again on that soundbite of the other team just wanted it more than you. You walk me down the road. You were the athlete. You would have been the coach. How in the world can you keep your head held high knowing that other people look at your performance saying you didn't really care about it all that much?
Yeah, I don't care about other people. I mean, it's looking around that locker room and understanding that we didn't bring it. I mean, that's the most powerful motivation, is not letting your guys down. Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, I was someone that prided myself on always having maximum effort, always being ready. And for whatever reason, the Knicks just weren't ready for the fight. And it wasn't just Jalen Rose, man. I mean, it was everybody. I mean, it was Allen after the game. It was Monica after the game. You name it. Everyone saw the same thing. So you know the players saw it. They felt it. Like, you can live with, I mean, there are certain games, and I know you don't want it to be the games that matter most where, you know, you're just not making your shots. Shots aren't going down. But when you're talking about game three of, you know, round two in a playoff series, in a matchup that you feel like you have a legitimate chance to win, and that's the kind of effort that you give, knowing the opponent that you're playing with Jimmy Butler back, by the way. Like, it's not like you beat the crap out of him in game two and they rolled over. I mean, they gave you everything you could handle in game two without Jimmy Butler.
Rolled over. I think by the time game two was over, you had to take a shower. You were such a mess from all the stress.
Right. It was like, I mean, you didn't feel great about it. As good as you felt about winning game two and the series being tied, as a Knicks fan, you didn't feel great about it.
No, I think just the opposite. In fact, I think if you're Miami, you get out of game two and you're like, hang on a second. We won game one. Their backs were to the wall in game two. We were on the road in New York. We didn't have Jimmy Butler and we scared them to death. That's a win for us.
Right. And we didn't blink. And now there's got to be some doubt in their mind that once Jimmy's back, that they can beat us.
So here's the question now for you and for everyone. 800-919-3776. It's a simple question. Do the Knicks show up tonight?
Yes.
You think you get to the end of that game and you say to yourself, you know what, they give everything they had. Everything they had.
Tonight's loss, if they do lose, I'm hoping like crazy that they win, obviously, it won't be an effort thing. It will not be an effort thing.
It can't be.
No, because there's real desperation here now.
And this is the soundbite that we've heard this morning that really, for my money, is the worst. And it's Jalen Rose after the game saying the Heat out-toughed the Knicks in game three.
It wasn't even about skill. It was about will. This was a street fight. Neither team shot 39%. Both teams shot 20% from three.
8 for 40.
Literally.
Eight for 40.
So what did the Heat do? They out-toughed the New York Knicks. They got the loose balls. They got the rebounds. They took the charges. They played together defensively. And Julius wasn't just missing. Bam Adebayo was locking him down.
You know, we talk about those Knicks teams from the 90s all the time. All the time, right?
All the time.
It's like, but, you know, this team reminds you of that team. You could say a lot of things about that team. That team was never, ever out-toughed. I mean, Jordan and Pippen and Rodman and Grant and, you know, Wennington and those teams, they were just better. Those teams were more talented. They were better. Never did you watch that team play with Oakley and Starks and Ewing and McDaniel and Harper and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And you said to yourself, boy, they were just out-toughed and they didn't give you maximum effort. That's what you saw or didn't see from the Knicks on Saturday.
Right. I mean, you saw a team that was playing with a sense of urgency and the Knicks weren't. Like, Jalen Rose is not wrong. But I would also say to Jalen Rose, like, you're right. Both teams didn't shoot well. And, you know, it wasn't a game that Jimmy Butler dominated necessarily. I think his presence on the court obviously makes a difference for them. But, I mean, Jimmy Butler gave you 28. Julius Randle gave you 10. Like, Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson combined gave you 30 points.
What do you need tonight from those two?
I need a representation of what you saw from Julius Randle during the regular season. I need him to make their shots. I mean, 8 for 40 is not going to cut it. I mean, the two games you lost, you shot awful from three. Game you won, you shot good.
R.J. Barrett's got to be better, too.
They all got to be better. Mitchell Robinson has to be better.
He's been so disappointing. The thing with Robinson is he was awesome in the first round.
He was dominant in the first round.
He was, and he's been the exact opposite. I mean, he's in foul trouble every game now. Can you, for God's sakes, can you not get yourself in foul trouble tonight, please?
Well, what do you think that Eric Spoelstra's telling his guys?
I'm sure. First of all, he picks up a cheap foul in the first couple minutes every single game. Be smarter. Be better.
There was one. What was the foul? There was one foul that was a weak foul call, too, though. There was one foul. I wrote it down. There was a weak foul. I didn't like it at all. No, the one on Butler. He got his fourth foul on Butler. It was a kind of a cheesy foul, but still. You got to know that that's what the other team's trying to do. Like, you know how important, you should know how important you are to the team, especially when you're not shooting well, is the offensive rebounds. It's a second chance points.
Yeah, but he did none of that either. He's just been bad this series, let's be honest.
He has not been nearly as good as he was against Cleveland. It's a different animal, though. How many times you want to say that? I mean, Cleveland's a good team, but, I mean, they're not tough like Miami.
They're not as well coached
as Miami.
They're not. They're not as good as Miami on any number of levels. But this is not, you're not going up against the 89 Pistons. This is not a great team in Miami.
No, it's not. But I mean, they're a team that has a bunch of players that play the right way.
Yeah, they're a good basketball team. But you know what? You're supposed to be a good basketball team too.
Oh, you know what else I didn't like yesterday in game three either? Was that Julius Randle didn't take his first free throw attempt until 24 seconds left in the third quarter.
Yeah, it's when the game is already over.
Like, you got to be, come on, man. If they're going to win this series, both of those guys have to be big-time factors in it.
All right, let's get to some of the calls. They're lined up. They want to talk. They need to be kind of walked off the ledge and kind of reestablished heading into the game tonight. Let's go to, we love this guy, Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, good morning. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm blessed to get through because your stream is not working, and that's not from the urologist.
RJ, did you know the stream is not working today?
He knows.
I've done my best to launch you into space. I haven't gathered the resources just yet.
Okay. All right. So, we know the stream is not working. What do you got?
Well, I'm asking a favor just before I go into my diatribe of that crappy game. I mean, crap on ice. If you could keep me on hold and tie up a line so I could listen, well, I appreciate that. But anyway, if you can't do that, I know. Look, they didn't show up. I was so pissed off. It was unbelievable. My wife's watching the game with me. What's going on? They're not even trying. And the lack of effort and the lack of intensity and Bam, listen, Bam played the whole year, didn't take one 3-point shot. So you know what he's going to do. He's locking up Randle. They made no adjustments. And here's my take. 80 to 90%, and I watch every possession of every game for 60 years. Means I'm real damn old. They run two players in the offense. It's a two-player offense. They don't run another play for another player. So in practice, could you run a side-out curl for Grimes or run some double screen on the weak side for someone else? They run no plays but for Brunson, where they're packing it in. They're surrounding him like he's the most wanted man in America by the FBI. And Randall tried to pass. At least he tried to pass in the game, but he looks just lost. They're out-toughing us. And that smug shot of Riley with that slick back gray hair made me puke. Otherwise, I had a great day.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Keep me on hold.
I love when Spike gets fired up. Makes me happy.
He's angry.
Of course he's angry.
He should be angry. Not like Richard in Manhattan before. He's like, oh, just you go about your day.
Richard's a better fan than you. He's been watching longer than you, and he also manages his time much better than you.
He probably manages his time much better than me. There is zero. After him calling the show earlier today and saying that he could just, if the Knicks lose, just, you know, move on to do other things in his day, defines that he's not a better fan than me.
There's not many people better fans than you.
I'm an elite fan.
Elite.
10. I didn't go to that bar mitzvah on Saturday just so I could watch the Knicks game.
You didn't go to it at all?
No, we went to the party. We didn't go to the service.
Wow. Are they okay with that?
What choice do they have?
Right. You gave a nice gift, though.
A very nice gift.
Good.
Very, very nice gift. In fact, my wife was like, should we give this? I was like, pff. All right.
Okay, come on. In fairness, I mean, you skipped the actual bar mitzvah.
We skipped the service, yes.
Right. I mean, you went to the party. That's not the same.
So I had to financially make up for the fact that I didn't go to the service?
I think so.
All right. Well, it seems like we did.
Good. Sherry knows.
She understands. Dawn in Yonkers. Hi, Dawn. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How are you? I just want to say that no Knicks fan wants to hear that another team wanted it more than the Knicks players do. They owe it to their fans to show up and show out and dive on the floor for balls, and it's a street fight from here on out. They're not facing any opponent that is not wanting to win the championship. So I don't know what they came prepared for, but they got to do something different than what they did.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. That was for me the most frustrating part, is you know what you're going to get from Miami. It shouldn't have been a surprise.
No, and from here on out, there are no surprises.
The thing is, though, and thanks to the call, Dawn, if you don't hit shots, how are you going to win games?
Well, no, Miami didn't hit shots. Miami didn't shoot well either. I mean,
no,
Miami shot, you shot 34% from the field and 20
right
from
there.
Three. Miami shot 39% and 22 from three.
And they were dreadful from three.
Yeah, big difference, though. I mean, you're minus 12 free throws.
That's a big number. And they've won the rebounding battle.
And you got to rebound it.
If the Knicks don't win the rebounding battle, it's going to be very difficult to win.
Take care of the ball, too, please.
Ugh. There was another play where Josh Hart in the open court like gagged it up, and it was infuriating.
I think they had, what, 9 turnovers in the first half of that game last
good.
Saturday?
No good. Adam, Staten Island. Good morning, Adam. You're on 98.7.
Fellas, I'm going to try to talk you guys off the ledge first instead.
Okay.
This is a we like the roster, we like the coach. They're young. They're gelling. They don't have playoff experience like the Miami roster does. It's not an accident that Mitch Robinson has a couple of fouls the first couple minutes of the game, because Spoelstra has a guy like Kevin Love to go at him, and they're purposely targeting him to get him off his game so they can get him off the court, and then they can go inside and have nice layups. And just, you got to give this team time to gel. If we said before the season, you're going to go to Miami, home court advantage, second round, you'd have said, okay, good season.
Yeah, I guess so, but that feels like a kind of cop-outy now, doesn't it? I mean, now you're going to revisit this? If I told you that you would be having home court advantage against Miami and they wouldn't have Jimmy Butler for game two, you might have a different feel as well around this whole series.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. It's so easy to do that, play that game before the season started. If I offered you this, would you take it? Of course, just like we offered RJ, you know, win one against Tampa, would you take it? He said yes, and then all of a sudden you watch what happened yesterday, and you're like, no.
Right, you don't end that series. There's no way a Yankees fan this morning is waking up saying, boy, that was great, we won one out of three.
No, the one that RJ thought he was going to win was the one yesterday with Cole pitching. And he had a 6-0 lead. So, I mean, it's different. It's just
you have to adjust your expectations as things happen.
Losing a series is fine, but it's how you lose it. And how you lost game three was a problem for me. I can't have that. I cannot have a team get outworked and out-toughed by it can't happen at this time of the year.
You might not have a choice.
Like, that's one of the things that, I mean, it was one of the reasons, one of the big reasons why you beat Cleveland.
You were just tougher than them. So where'd that go?
I think the call that we had earlier in the show, there's levels of it. There's different levels.
Well, get it back. Get it back tonight.
Yeah, they're going to come off. They got to come off flying tonight.
They have to. Jesse and Bayonne. Good morning, Jess. You're on 98.7. Hello.
What's going on, buddy? Jesse.
Oh no. Jesse.
Yes.
Jesse, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Hello? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What's going on, buddy?
What? RJ, what happened there?
It's time to move on.
I mean, was the guy even remotely prepared for the call?
Can you listen to him?
He seemed prepared. I don't know what happened post discussion with me.
He panicked.
Yeah. I think the moment was too big.
It was like the Knicks before game three.
You know, it's fair. So you think you hit hold and the moment became exponentially too big for him?
Listen, it's different. When you start hearing the show, come back through your earpiece and your phone, it all becomes very real. It's not for everybody.
No,
it's like Quinn Grimes before the playoffs. This will be no big deal. Be fine.
So you think that the call was playoff kind of caliber basketball for Jesse?
I think that was I think he in his mind he thought it was going to go a certain way. Then all of a sudden, lights turned on too bright.
It was very bright lights of the show. I know who's going to be good. Ted in the truck. He's always good. Good morning, Ted. You're on 98.7.
Hey guys, what's up? I'm very nervous about tonight. You know, I have a few things I want to hit on. You know, Barrett and Randall both need to go to the rack. Stop shooting threes. We need McBride in there playing tenacious defense. Quickly has given us nothing. Okay? So McBride in there, I'm going to like his toughness. Quickly is a frail person. He's weak. He's getting pushed around out there. This is good that we have McBride in. The thing that has been really bothering me with this series is the Knicks are letting them – they're bailing out their defense and shooting way too many threes and not making it. Go to the hole with Josh Hart, Barrett, and Randall and get to the rim. Force some fouls. You know, like this is the biggest Knick game in close to a decade, maybe more. You know, they need to come out prepared tonight. I need to see something. You know, like this is – last game was pathetic. It was a bad effort. They need to come out tonight with some serious heart, and I'll be able to be happy with whatever happens.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Ted. Thanks for the call. I think if you come out there and you give everything and leave it down in Miami and leave it on the floor tonight and you lose the game, Knicks fans will, you know what, they were just better than us and I can deal with it. If you go down there tonight and you give another performance like you did on Saturday, people are going to be beside themselves tonight and tomorrow
morning. Yeah, see, these are the hardest. Series like these are the hardest. We have two similar teams. And when you look at, because everyone likes to play that game, when you look at, like, you know, you take each roster side by side and which team has more talent. Like, I mean, it's why you didn't want to play against Milwaukee, because you lose a series against Milwaukee and you're like, okay, they're the best record in the NBA. They got Giannis. Like, we don't match up well. But when you go in a series where you feel like you match up well, yeah, I mean, you could make the argument that you're more talented. And it's hard to explain to people what happened. Like, as an athlete, it would be if I was on the Knicks right now and someone on the street walked up to me and was like, hey, what the hell happened in game three? I would have a hard time explaining to them what happened. Because, I mean, we all go in with the same mindset. Like, you go into the game ready. You understand how important it is. You're telling yourself that I'm going to have, you know, maximum effort, all these things. And then you show up and that happens. And you're like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know that they have the answers. Now, here's a conundrum. Jesse's back.
RJ makes the decision. RJ's the one that hung up. RJ's going to make the call.
RJ, now this time he's calling from Bayonne. RJ, do we go revisit the...
You suck.
What? Who sucks? What?
That was funny. I give you that one.
Thank you.
Listen, so the first time, and this may be unfair, but here's how we're going to address it. I think it was on Jesse. The second time, I'm now vouching for him. I think it's on me if it goes poorly, but so, I think we'll go to him.
So if this goes poorly, you accept full responsibility.
I mean, technically, it's a different person. It was Bayonne, now it's Bayonne. So
that's right.
Different town.
From Bayonne, which is really upscale.
You're
all
such
right,
a
Jesse.
Bad person.
In Bayonne. Let's
Italian,
see what you got.
It's an Italian village, Bayonne.
That's right. It's a small village.
Hey, guys. Thank you. I'm very sorry about the mix up before. I just have a question, basically, Rich. How much extracurriculars might be affecting the Knicks play in Miami? You know, whether it's sleeping in a strange bed or maybe going out to a favorite club the night before. Like,
it better not be.
Have this cross street.
No, right, it better not be. Like, no, it better not be.
Does that happen?
Does it happen?
How do you have such a drop-off?
Well, I mean, you say drop-off. You barely won game two without Jimmy Butler. So, I mean, right. It's...
But yeah, you didn't even play in game three, though. I'm sorry, and maybe I'm naive, and I probably am. If the Knicks are going out and partying and lighting up Miami and not focused on these games, you have that would be an embarrassment is what it would be.
You have a huge problem. I don't think that's the case at all.
I don't think so either. I don't think so. I think
maybe
Miami.
Maybe part of it was just one of those deals where shots weren't going in early. I mean, I mentioned the 0 from Phil started 0 for 15 from outside the paint. And it bled into the rest of their game. Like tonight's not our night kind of deal.
Maybe. I don't know. But if they're going out to the strip clubs and to the steakhouses and that's why they're not showing up, then that would be an indictment on the organization.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on.
Oh, can you sing with me?
This is not my song.
This is not my spot yet.
Here you go.
Here it is right here. Yeah. No, I don't feel it today.
Yeah, neither do I.
I don't love it.
We'll revisit this
thing. I thought I was getting Miley Cyrus.
You will.
Oh, when?
That was not great.
You will.
No, that wasn't my favorite.
That's all you need to know.
Listen up, baseball fans. ESPN New York is giving you the chance to travel with the home team and the boys from the Bronx. I know that team. They visit L.A. Wow. You and a guest could catch a game and enjoy round-trip airfare, two-night hotel accommodations, and $200 in spending money. For official rules and to enter, visit the ESPN New York app and click on Travel with the Home Team, all brought to you by the engagement experts at London Jewelers. All right. You know what? I'm sick of you. You're babbling about the game, the series. The fan wants to get involved, and I'd like to hear from the fan.
Well, that's good, because I'm done with you after how nasty you were with Get to Know Your Co-host.
You know what? I was asked to give honest answers. I gave honest answers. Now it's too much for you.
No, honest answers about yourself, not shots at me.
Sorry.
Itchy, kitchy, yeah, yeah. Hee, wee, wee.
What was that? Wee, wee, wee. What was that?
That's a police car.
Wee, wee, wee. Please pull over.
Next on the stage, Jiggles. Yeah.
Please pull over. There is nothing to see here. Oh, my God. All right, Will in Queens. Good morning, Will.
Hey, morning. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show, guys.
Thanks for making it. What do you got?
I just wanted to talk about the Knicks, of course. I got two questions for you guys. It may be kind of far-fetched, but first I want to just say we need everybody, Knicks fans, just take it easy. Let's all get off the ledge. I remember in 1994, I was the a 10-year-old on the ledge, and you know, that's kind of toxic, looking at the Knicks losing the playoffs for the first time. But the point I want to get to is I'm wondering if it's too far-fetched to think that our coach could throw in some of our vets off the bench.
What do you want to say?
I know people are going to say, you know, we didn't use them as far as now, so it's no point in now. But I'm just saying, just to throw them in, just to put more pressure on our regular guys, it seems like, you know, we're getting outplayed and outmuscled. What brings me to my second question. And
well, let me ask you
yeah,
a question.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Who is it that you want to see that you think makes a difference? Like, you're not going to play Brunson?
That's what I said, it's kind of far-fetched because I'm looking down the bench and I don't really see anybody. You know, I want to go and say D-Rose, but D-Rose hasn't played all season, so it's not really realistic. But my second question I wanted to know is it too crazy to think that, you know, what happened with Zeller and Randall, was that a statement? If that was the opposite with Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler and those guys, would they be coming back in game four looking to make a statement as a result of that?
I think so.
That's all I wanted to ask.
That's a good question. I think so. I think here's the thing, Rick, and maybe I'm wrong with this. I don't think Miami gets themselves in a position where they get mauled by the Knicks like that.
No, you're not going to get, you're not going to bully around Miami. It's part of their identity is the toughness.
But it's supposed to be part of the Knicks' identity.
It's supposed to be, yeah. I mean, it's why Knicks fans are so upset today. Because there was no, I don't know how many times you need to say it. Everyone in the series, regardless if you thought the Knicks would win or lose, knew it was going to be a fight.
So Knicks lose that game by 5 points, huge shot Jimmy Butler down the stretch. You feel fine today?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm upset that they lost, but I'm not.
Right,
I'm
but you're not like, you're not, yeah, repulsed by the performance.
Yeah, not only did you lose, you got embarrassed.
You sure did. Well, you know, maybe that's the low point. Maybe they fight back tonight. Tom in North Brunswick. Good morning, Tom.
I called because I just have a simple tweak that we can do because right now the teams know each other so well. But what got us here is my question is, why is Josh Hart in the starting lineup? I like Josh. I'm a Josh Hart fan. But what got us here is he was a spark off the bench with his defense, really feasting on the people that were playing extended minutes. The problem here in the starting lineup is when Randall or Brunson or Barrett penetrate, they're kicking out to open man. It's Josh Hart. Josh Hart can't shoot the three. So we got, in my opinion, we just got to change the starting lineup a little bit and just stay with what got us here. Thank you.
So I guess he wants to see Grimes take more
shots.
He wants
Grimes back.
I guess. But Grimes has been bad.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, you can come up with all these adjustments and everything else. I mean, D-Rose hasn't played. I'm sure Tibbs would love to play D-Rose. Fournier can't defend. Grimes hasn't been himself. IQ hasn't been himself. Now he's not available. He's not wrong. I mean, when you get into these moments, I mean, you're supposed to be able to go with the guys that got you here. And other teams are going to make adjustments and everything else. And you're going to have to find a way to work your way through it.
See, that's what you need. We can sit here and we can, you know, have these far-fetched analysis of Fournier and Derrick Rose and McBride. You need the guys who brought you to the dance to produce. And that's it.
Yeah, maybe that other caller's point, though. Like, I mean, play these bench guys to put more pressure on your starters. Maybe that's exactly the problem. Why they're missing uncontested shots. I mean, you're talking about, listen, the Knicks... R.J. Barrett is not a great three-point shooter. Josh Hart is not a great three-point shooter.
No.
But I'm not even talking about three-point shots. I'm talking about shots, you know, outside the paint. I'm talking about 6 of 23 on uncontested shots in the first half. Like, that's... I mean, maybe it is the moment. Maybe they're putting too much pressure on themselves. Whatever it is, they better figure it out.
And quickly. Let's go to Reggie in the car. Good morning, Reg.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
You know, we're getting through.
So watching that Knick game, you can tell, you know, Rick, you play professional hockey. You know, y'all watch sports. You can tell very early on the Knicks were not winning this game. Anybody who's been watching ball or any type of sport, you can tell a team was taken out. They were not winning this game no matter what they did. What was more frustrating watching the Knicks is that Rick just said they were 6-23, right? But at one point in the first quarter, they were 1-16 from downtown. At what point do you force the action and have the ref blow the whistle for you when you get in the paint? Can I get Julius Randle on his bully ball? Can I get some of that? I'm watching him drive, and I'm not doing this. I'm not doing the whole Randall is this. He's running in the paint, and you're kicking it out to shoot a three. Right now, when you watch basketball, it's annoying because if they're not shooting a three, most of the time that's what they're doing. There's only three guards in the league that can do that on a consistent basis, and that's because they're special: Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Damian Lillard. I'm going to need these other players who think that they're those type of shooters. Why don't you come in? You don't have to chuck a 30-foot shot. I don't want to see a fast break with Hard on a fast break or let's say Barrett. It's a 1-on-3, and he's stopping to shoot a 30-foot-3. You are 1-16. Y'all needed to force the action, make the refs blow the whistle. And I had a problem with Thibodeau when they came from the halftime thing. And I guess they were saying, like, they was asking him, you know, what adjustments can be made and what did he see and, oh, you know, we're not playing hard enough. He was probably right about that. But I don't have an issue with, you know, at the rate they've been, you know, kind of chucking the three. Why you don't got an issue with that? Why? Randall is not just a straight three-point shooter. Let's you know, can he hit the three? That's fine. But to be relegated to just be standing out there on the perimeter and chucking threes, if you look at what Miami is doing, they're either in a 3-2 or a 2-3 zone. They're not even going mad. Which is just disrespectful.
Well, they want you to shoot the three, Reggie. I mean, that's thanks for the call. It's a good call. That's what they want. Yeah. They're desperate for you to stand outside and shoot the three. You don't think that they would sign right now for R.J. Barrett and whoever else to sit, stand outside and shoot the three-pointer? They'd love it.
Yeah, we talked about this after game one, man. I mean, first half of game one, the Knicks dominated the paint. I think they had, what, 42 points in the paint? Something crazy in the first half. And then the Miami Heat went to the locker room, made an adjustment, shut down the paint, and then the Knicks were forced to start kicking it out.
And it's been a different series from the end of the first half of game one through right now.
Yeah, and they hadn't shot. Listen, here's the thing, too. I mean, these are smart people. Like, I mean, you spend all this time going over the matchup, what the Knicks did against Cleveland, and I'm sure they all noticed that the Knicks did not shoot well in that series from three. So what are we going to do? Are we going to let them take advantage of us in the paint, or are we going to shut down the paint? Yeah, they had 40 points in the paint in the first half, and then make them make threes. And game one didn't make threes, and in game three they didn't make threes.
All right, let's see what Tony in Queens. Tony met you on Saturday. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's going on? Was Rick a gentleman?
Rick was a gentleman. He gave me a nice little fist bump. I said, let's go Knicks. I just had a question about, you know, my brother had a beautiful party, you know, the tent, the bouncy castle for the kids, the catering. But we're watching the game on a pink iPad. I was wondering what Rick's setup was and what Dave would have done. You know, he's got an 80-inch TV in the living room inside. What Dave would have done in that situation.
What was there a party going on during the Knicks game on Saturday, Rick?
Was there a party? No, there was not a party going on during the Knicks game, though. No.
So
the party was done.
Party was done.
Yeah. See, that's why you're a good planner.
Yeah. We went right from church to the party.
Ah, see. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, we were there all day, so the combo came up. I wonder what Millionaire Rick, what his setup would be like.
Had you, no. And thanks for the call, Tony, had you had a party, there would have been a big screen television there.
Well, that was part of the thing, yeah. I said, if this thing does bleed late, we got to make sure there's TV so we can watch the game. And there was, yeah, we had TV set ready.
Nice. Well done.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I can take myself dancing. Hold my hand. Can be better than you can. Love me better. I can love me better. I can love me better. I can love me better.
All right, we should probably take it from you at this point. DPHR Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. RJ. RJ.
Yes.
Who do you think is the better singer, me or Rick?
I think you. Mm-hmm. I think you. Now, Rick gives it his all.
But he doesn't have that same je ne sais quoi that I
have.
Well,
you certainly sing with more confidence, I'll say that.
I think that's what it is.
Good or not, you sing more confident.
I own it. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. You won't just let yourself be free. It feels like you're always shackled by something.
Well, it's high risk, high reward, right? Because like when you're locked in.
Whoa, we're halfway there.
you're great, but when it goes sideways,
take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd. But this is a little off. Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, but I still battle through.
You do. You do always battle through.
I mean, I could sing this if you'd like.
Let's hear some.
I
guess
that's so. I don't know it that well. It's amazing. The guy can't fix the app for 3+ hours, but the second there's a soundbite that embarrasses one of us, it's ready to go immediately.
Right at his fingertips.
Why are you putting that on him?
It was the siren version.
This might be an old-timer
I want another shot at Miley.
Later.
I'm afraid I'm going to get too loud on the microphone. I think that's
let yourself go.
Jiggles.
Really let yourself go.
It's hard, though. I'm trying to get the words just on point. You're right. I think too much. I just got to be free.
Just let yourself go. Just, you know, there's no, you are your own man.
Wee, wee, wee. Itchy, itchy, yeah, yeah.
Wee, wee. Let's go to Alex and Colt's Neck. Good morning, Alex. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. So my question is about kind of the three-point shooting. So in the two games the Knicks have lost, they've shot 20% from three-point range. The one game they've won, they've shot 40%. Obviously, in today's NBA, it seems like you can't win games unless you can hit your threes. So, you know, my question is, so why would bringing Evan Fournier be far-fetched off the bench? I mean, right now the Heat, as we've said, you know, their defensive strategy is really to let the Knicks shoot. They're clogging the paint. They're giving us open shots. Nobody can hit them. You know, bringing in a guy like Evan Fournier is going to stretch the floor. It's going to force the Heat to guard the three-point line. They're not going to leave that guy open. I mean, he's been proven to be able to shoot the three. I know he's a defensive liability, but, you know, why wouldn't that be something the Knicks might want to try?
Well, because he just said it, and the guy hasn't played. I mean, he's clearly out of the trust tree with Tibbs. And, I mean, Tibbs is, I mean, his identity for this team is defensively they have to be, he holds him to a high standard. And Fournier is not a good defensive player. I don't think Brunson's a very good defensive player either. So,
and how good of a defensive player is R.J. Barrett?
Right. And, I mean, that's why Grimes was so important, because he could shoot the three, and he's also a really good defender. And quickly the same thing.
Mitchell Robinson needs to be better.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson needs to be better. But let's not pretend like you start going through the numbers during the regular season. Like, Knicks during the regular season shot 35.4% from three. During the playoffs, they're shooting 29%, which is the worst. But the Knicks were taking, almost 36 threes a game during the regular season.
Which is a ton.
Yeah, which is, I think there was, I want to say eighth most attempts a game in the NBA. So this is not new. It's Julius or it's Jalen. Usually in isolation, breaking down the defense. If Jalen can get to the spot he wants, he takes a shot. Otherwise, he's spraying the ball out and they're shooting threes. Game one, they didn't make them. In game three, they didn't make them.
It's time. I mean, I don't know what more there is to say. You could sit here, we can analyze this series till we're blue in the face. It's time. You need to hit your shots tonight. You need to play tough defense tonight. And you need to rise the level of your game tonight. And if that doesn't happen, you're going to be staring at a 3-1 deficit at the end of tonight when we turn on the microphones tomorrow morning. And that's it.
This is your season.
This is your season. You will be defined by what you're able to do tonight. Now, all year long, they've been a resilient bunch. Do they have that again tonight? I hope so.
Yeah, they better come up with something to prove, too. Because my experience, I mean, you got a bunch of guys that in locker rooms of good teams that have a lot of pride. And you got embarrassed in game three. And you'll be judged on how you bounce back. Like, you want to make that game, like that game three, you don't want anyone talking about that game three anymore. So come out in game four, win, play well, play hard, and no one's going to care what happened in game three.
100%. 100%. You went down to Miami needing to go 1-1. Well, you know what? You still have the opportunity to go 1-1. Now, can you do it tonight? Jay in Queens. Good morning, Jay. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey. Good morning, guys. Hope you had a good weekend. Everything you guys are saying is pretty much on point. You know, I know a lot of people are killing the Knicks for not knocking down threes, but everybody didn't shoot the ball that well during the regular season either. And in the playoffs, you know, really good coaches in series just have a tendency to bring out their deficiencies more because you're playing the same team over and over. You know, they're going to get open threes because that's what the Heat want. And if you knock them down, then you'll have a chance to win. Against Cleveland, Cleveland wasn't able to adjust and control the paint. And even though the Knicks shot poorly, they were still able to get things under the basket. So, you know, as a Knicks fan, you know, I don't know whether they're more talented than Miami, but if they're going to lose, I want them to fall on their sword, go out, play hard, maximum effort, and if we lose, we lose. We've been through that even back in the 90s, like you said. But those guys were tough, and they gave us something to be proud of even in a defeat. So I think that's what we're looking for, and hopefully we get a win. Like you said, one splitting on the road, same thing. So maybe we get it tonight. I hope so. Guys, take care. Have a great day.
Thank you. That's a nice call. Quick,
yeah, well,
concise,
it doesn't matter.
Uplifting. Good.
Right. But that has to be it, though, man. That's, I mean, that's playoffs. Doesn't matter what. I mean, the goal going to Miami was to get a split. Regain home court advantage. It doesn't matter if you lost game three by 150 points.
Nope. Makes no difference. You could win tonight by lucky one shot, 1 point. Doesn't matter. Just find a way to win the game tonight. I swear to God, Knicks win tonight, you won't hear one negative word from me tomorrow morning. I promise you that.
No, tomorrow will be a full celebration mode.
Will you sing?
I've sang twice already. Yeah, multiple.
Yeah, but that what you've done today is not like...
I can love me better. I can love me better.
You know, today's been... This has not been the best version of you singing today.
I can take myself dancing. I'm willing to admit it's not my best, but I don't know why today is the day where you need to pick on me so much.
I think
I'm
that's
very
fair.
Fragile.
I think that's fair. I think you're right. I think I should be a better friend today. I'm sorry.
You can tell I'm mentally beaten down a little bit. I'm for some reason deciding that the Mets season is just going to start on Tuesday. Like I'm searching here. I'm grasping at straws, David.
Yes, you really are. 1-800-919-3776. Our dear friend, the man they call, you think he's out of breath right now?
I hope not.
Shooter in Stamford. Shooter, happy third period. Good morning. You're on 98.7.
It's first period, Dave, and good morning, boys, and good morning, company. That Knicks game was gross. It even got me into trouble because I was also at a birthday party. We were hiding in the basement watching the game, and the birthday girl's down there with my daughter, and she decided to open my present. And then she opens it, and then my daughter goes, "Daddy, that's what Nanny gave me." And then my cousin just looks at me, and all the other dads are looking
at me. You re-gifted?
I did, but I re-gifted because it was a present with like lots of little pieces in it, and my other boy is one, so like I can't have presents like that. He'll try to eat it. I don't want him to choke, so I re-gifted, and I was caught red-handed.
Oh,
and it was as awkward as it gets. It was awkward as it gets. But that's my life.
Your daughter sold you right out, huh?
She did, and then my cousin's looking at me. He's smiling at me. I'm just like, you got me. I got nothing to say. You got me.
You didn't even make anything
up. I couldn't. All the dads are there. Everyone's looking at me. I'm like, I don't want to look like a
right on the fly. Be like, no, you know what? This is not the same one. I was so pleased with this as a present. Right. We got another one for you guys.
No, guys, I'm telling you, you should have seen their faces. My cousin's just like me. You know, he's street smart. He knows. He looks at me afterwards. He's like, hey, I did the same thing. It's okay. I'm glad it was my cousin and not someone I didn't know.
Well, that would
be very awkward.
There you go.
All right, Shooter, come on,
let's
go.
All right, Knicks. Okay, Knicks game, that was gross. And everyone's been calling it with the same – everyone's saying, you know, facts, right? We can't shoot. That's just the makeup of our team. Like, we don't have the guys to do it, right? Fournier is too slow to put in there, but we'd like to. Like, it's just our team. So we've got to win with grit. We've got to win with coming back and fighting. Julius Randle's nuts. We've seen it, right? He's nuts. He's got to get fired up. Right, we need Brunson to be solid. We need their ankles to be okay, and we can fight back. That's what the Knicks do. We fight, and if we fight, it's going to be fine. But that's just our team. So everyone's got to just be happy with what we do out there, as long as we're fighting. And this is a good game to probably bet on. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's 4.5. I think we keep it close. Let's go Knicks, baby!
All right, let's go Knicks, baby.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.